Dear Shooter, most of you remember Brian Fox, like I do. We met Brian last year when he came out to Wyoming for our annual antelope hunt. Well, we decided we weren't done picking on him yet, so this year we brought him back for an elk hunt. Poor Brian found out that elk hunting isn't exactly the redneck shindig that antelope is. But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an effing shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made
that clip on, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe. Nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Wow, and this week we brought Brian Fox back. As you guys might remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, San Diego NCIS?
San Diego, yep.
Now, are you still active?
No. Okay. Got out in 04.
Okay.
Put the mic in your mouth.
I'm sorry. Wilson's over here making a gesture.
Did anybody have any confusion of what I was trying to get him to do?
No.
No, it looked...
I knew what it looked like. I knew exactly what it looked like. And it made him smile. But what's weird is he leaned in.
Like I knew what to do.
So, Brian, back in Wyoming.
Back in Wyoming. What a great introduction.
And today we are, God, we're recording, I mean, like 10 miles from the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you guys came out to me. At the camp I'm set up at. That's very nice.
Well, you didn't even have a rental car, so we didn't have much of a choice.
No.
I'm just waiting for Lyseid Fire Hall to have a fire, and the alarms in this building will go haywire. That'll be great.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get exciting. Sure.
That's all right. I mean, we always need a little excitement. Mm-hmm. So, you came out here, let's see, like 2 days ago?
I came out, well, today,
or three
today
days
is
ago.
Monday.
Yeah.
So, I flew out last Thursday, actually.
Yeah.
He came out stupid early, though. He couldn't hunt till Saturday.
Oh, no. I wanted time to glass. I wanted time to, you know, hang out, do all that good stuff. I didn't want to come in last minute. That's not my style.
Yeah, but Gerald had one tied up for you, so from what I understand.
Yep. No, I had to make up ground from last year. I got harassed a little bit by Brandy on, you know, not scheduling stuff in time and everything. So I was really trying to impress her this year and book early, come out, and do everything I should have the first time.
How'd that go, Brandy?
It was actually better, but he made a point on several occasions to tell me, see, he's communicating.
And she said, instead of, yep, nope, I got... You know, a sassy comment like about time. You know, we can
well,
teach you.
She knows you now, so she's not afraid to go unfiltered.
Yep. Experienced it.
So, tell us about the hunt. Well, I guess first, tell us about the elk.
Yeah, well, I'll even go back a little bit. You know, got a phone call from Brandy probably about 2 months ago. And was told, hey, we got a tag and your name's on it. And I was like, heck yeah. You know, I was like, I got to figure out how to make this work. You know, actually, when I got the phone call, I was at a golf event, you know, so I'm talking in a parking lot and I was with a coworker and I go, you wouldn't believe the phone call I just got. He goes, what? And this actually, he's my boss. And I go, well, going to have to take some time off here coming up very soon. Going to go on an elk hunt in Wyoming here. So booked all the details and came on out. Came out Thursday.
Yep.
And the hunt started Saturday, but I wanted to come out, get some sleep, you know. I figured, which we did, Friday we would glass, and met my guide and everything Thursday. I actually had a trailer set up. I'm staying in your guys' trailer.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.
It is leaning now a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the wet that we got, kind of, it sunk on one side.
Loaded up with food, all the camping goodies I need. I got steaks, I got drinks, I got everything in there. It was very comfortable. Thank you guys for setting that up.
Absolutely.
Good.
And anyways, spent the night, woke up. Gerald and I, we went out the next day, and we were just kind of just scouting the area, driving around, trying to see what we can find. Found a herd, you know. I couldn't tell you. It was way off, and of course, you know, the herd was in an area that we couldn't get to. It wasn't in our hunt zone. But still spent some time driving around, just checking everything out, getting a lay of the land.
Awkward silence.
Not awkward.
You're just changing the volume a little bit. There we go.
So you found the herd?
Yep. So found the herd, you know, came back to camp and met a whole bunch of individuals there at the cabin over there. A whole bunch of the plant workers are staying there. Actually met a lot of wives, a lot of great people. Hung out with them. Bought a bottle of whiskey. You know, when we first came in, that bottle disappeared night one. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a long weekend, you know. One bottle down and got another one here, you know, had to replenish.
I can relate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. So we scouted the area, and then next day, well, that's hunt day, you know. Let's figure out what we can get into. Gerald picked me up. You know, we headed off. I would say it was about 6:50 in the morning. No. It was about 6 because we wanted to get out there before sunset, sunrise. So went out to camp number one. We're overlooking this valley. Actually, let me back up a little bit. We're driving out there, and then sure enough, we see two bulls right out the gate. They're four pointers, and he's like, "Hey, what do you think? You know, we're on Onyx. We're trying to check out where we're at and everything." And of course, those two are on property that we couldn't hunt.
They know.
Yep. We didn't have permission. So we were like, well, we aren't going to do that, you know. So we passed those up and we went up to this ridge line. It was windy. You guys get a lot of wind up here. Holy smokes. So I'm sitting here. We hike down on this ridge line. We set up under this tree. And I'm just thinking, like, if I have a shot, how far is this? We're glassing an area that just overlooks, it seems like, miles of land. And I'm just like, all right, this shot's going to be like 500 yards in this wind. How am I going to do that? It's gusting, you know? So we're up there. All of a sudden, it starts sprinkling. It starts lightning all over the place. We're up here, like, the lightning's low. Like, we're watching across the way, and it's just crackling down and everything. And we start to talk about, unfortunately, the gentleman in Colorado. And I was like, well, this isn't a great conversation when there's lightning all around us, you know? Gerald's not helping me. He's just like, yeah, you know, and we're on the highest point around here right now. And I'm just like, now I'm holding this rifle like an antenna, you know, a lightning rod on my back.
He walked away from you.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm going to go over here now.
Talking with the day, he was like, yeah, I wanted to get away from you a little bit. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I feel real comfortable. So we're out there for, I would say, about an hour and a half. We didn't see anything. There was a lot of moo cows out there. You know, we're watching those. So we get up, we load up in the Jeep, and we head down a few more miles and another ridge that he wanted to check out. Well, all of a sudden, it's starting to sleet. So I'm just like, hold up, what is this weather out here? You know, winds kicking my ass. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's crazy. Never experienced it. I mean, windy in the morning, wet. All of a sudden, now we're freezing, and that wind's just cutting through us. And now we got sleet just raining down on us. And I tell you what, those flat rocks that you guys have out here, that gets slicker than snot. I almost fell. I can't tell you how many times. And of course, when we're hiking, we're climbing up and down these boulders and these rocks all over the place. Gerald wasn't taking it easy on me, but man, it was a great experience. So we're on site number two. We aren't seeing anything. We're freezing, a little uncomfortable. We want to check out a different area. And the day before, when we were glassing, we came across, I think his name was Bill. He owns a lot of properties.
Bill Spratt.
Yep. That's who it was. You know, we met Bill when we were driving out, just glassing, and he talked to us a good 30 minutes. We were just chit-chatting, showing photos and videos and everything, just getting to know each other. And he was telling us about the antelope hunting and everything, and he was like, hey, you know, vets, you guys are welcome on my land. If you want to cut across, if you see something there that you want to shoot, you know, you have our permission. And he was talking about his son. He was like, you'll have to get permission from Ace if you want to, you know, pursue his properties and everything. We didn't get in touch with him, so we weren't going to hunt his land. And, of course, those were the location that the 4x4s were on when we first got
out. Of course.
Yeah. So we decided to cut across his land up on a high point. And we're glassing up there. It was a fun Jeep ride. A lot of boulders and everything that we're going over. And we get up on this hill. And I don't know what... Gerald and I were talking a lot. You know, this hunt, there was a lot of stuff that happened in our favor. You know? We get up on that hill and that wind just stops. No wind at all. Okay? And we're glassing up there for like 20 minutes, and I'm off, and I was like, Gerald, take a look over here, way off in the distance on this high point. And I go, is that elk? It just looks like ants to me. You know, they're that far away. And he gets in his gear, and he's like, yeah, that's elk right there. And I was like, all right. And he goes, how do we get there? You know? So we pull up Onyx and we're tracking all the trails and everything over there. And sure enough, all the way through BLM, we figured out we can get to that location. So we get in the Jeep and we start heading out there. We're going up and down everything. We mark this spot on Onyx where we think is the hill that they're at. And then all of a sudden, fog rolls in.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. We can't see anything. And we get up. And we stop outside this hill where we're just like, they're on the other side of it, you know? And we get out and we start to stock up. We're going around the base and everything. And sure enough, Murphy's Law, the fog started to lift a little bit. And we find out, no, that's not where the elk is. We have the wrong hill 100%. Fog lifts up a little bit. And so we're glassing. We're like, what hill is it? Sure enough, still further out, we thought we were close. We weren't close. We see that herd just for a little bit. And they're on this hill. It's just a bare hill. There's no vegetation or anything else on there. They have the high ground, you know? And we're like, how are we going to get over there? And we're like, should we get in the Jeep? Nope, we ain't going to do that. It's time to step it out. And we did. Get down in this creek area. We're following it all the way down. We're trying to like come up on this little rolling hill in front of this, I'll just say mountain where they're at. And we're stopping outside of here and they're like, they're over there, but this is still like 1,000 yards out. How are we going to get there? Because there's nothing to hide behind. These things are just bedded up on this hill, just laying down. All these does are just, you know, laying there. And we're just like, hey, those are the guardians. They're gonna find us and call our bluff. So we stop and we're thinking. And what happens again? Fog rolls in. So we're like, all right, this works out. We start to roll up and we're coming up on this. Fog starts to lift. We get a lot closer. We're about 750 yards out and so. And we're glassing, we're hiding a little bit, and another roll of fog comes in. Get a little bit closer. Do that about 2 or 3 times. We finally get close enough, and we're in this heavy fog that we're starting, and we want to traverse left a little bit, all right, because we want to see what's over on this. It's a small hill, and they're up on this mountain that's you know, now 500 or so yards out. And we come up, and the fog's pretty heavy, and we start to traverse left. And all of a sudden, we start to see these heads pop up. Does, 70 yards out, okay? And I tell him, stop, stop. And we turn into robots walking backwards, okay? The wind was in our face, so they couldn't smell us, but they definitely saw us. So all of a sudden, 3, 4, 5, 6 does start to stand up. And we're just like, uh-oh, we messed up. A 4x4 stands up. We're like, uh-oh. You know, we just ruined this opportunity on this herd. Nothing happened. They started to trot off a little bit, you know, and they settled down. We were backing up, and we were like, we want to get left a little more to see what's on the other side of this hill. Another roll of fog comes in. We get to traverse left. We got a few, you know, sage shrubs, I guess, you know, that are there. And I get to lay down, and that fog lifts. And, oh, my gosh, what we thought was on the hill was a lot of elk, which it was. But over to the left, where we didn't see it in the valley, there was a big old herd. And they were sitting there talking to each other. It was an experience, you know, hearing these things, seeing them interact. I'm nervous as all hell, okay? I found out during this hunt, I thought I had decent gear. I don't have decent gear, okay? The rangefinder, I didn't know had a limitation, okay? He's asking me how far it is. I was like, it's not picking it up. Well, actually, it did. I'm guessing because of the fog, it was messing with it. But I'm like, hey, that's only 9 yards, you know? No, and it's not. But I was just like, yeah,
well, that's... And you got to you forgot to send the memo to the elk to put their reflective vest on.
Yes. Yes. So my rangefinder's not working. It's raining, okay? I should figure out something. You were talking about how to protect my glass or my scope from filling up with water. I'm looking at raindrops through a scope, okay?
So don't you love that when you have 14 reticles?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking down at this herd. We're guessing. I'm trying to get the rangefinder to work. I'm going down the base of the mountain with it just to get a reading and try to figure out how far from that reading they are. And we came across our next problem. So I'm in the prone. We're looking at all these elk. And he's just like, oh, that's a nice one. You see it? And I go, no. Which one is it? You know, he's like, oh, it's right by the 4x4. I go, where? You know, I don't know which one you're looking at, you know? So I'm starting to get a little panicky. You know, there's all these elk out here, and what a problem to have, right? All these elk are out there. He's finding this one that he's excited about, but I can't find it. I can't find it in my scope, you know? And we're going through, and where I think I find it, he's like, yeah, it's facing left. I'm like, oh, that one's facing right. No, I'm on the wrong one. Where is it? Well, all in that time of us not figuring out how to communicate, the herd starts to walk off further from us. Now we're definitely out of range where I felt comfortable to shoot. And I felt sick at that moment. I was like, did I just mess up this hunt? You know, was this my only opportunity? And now they're just slowly walking away from us. We decide, hey, we need to pursue them a little more. There's another little creek bed, all right? We get down in there. And these things are just watching us the whole time, you know? And so we would wait till they get a little distracted. We would move a little further. They would look at us because there's movement and everything. We would stop, you know? And we're trying to figure out how to get close. I wanted to get 500 or less, you know? That's where I think I can do my thing. So he's like, hey, we need to get closer. There's not much coverage. Let's crawl. And I was like, okay, let's do this. You know, I want to experience. I'm getting it all on this hunt right here. So we decide to crawl up. He's like, how far? Rangefinder's not working. I'm doing the same thing, trying to get to the base of the, you know, a hill or something that I can get it. We start to crawl up more. And finally, I get a reading, and it says 400. The elk are a little bit further, so I'm guessing they're about 450. All right. So we're now looking. We had the problem in our first prone spot of communication. So he's just like, hey, let's find something. And he goes, you see those three bushes? And I go, yeah, the big one with the two on the bottom of it that looks like an upside down Mickey Mouse head. He goes, yeah. He goes, all right, so from the Mickey Mouse head, go down. He goes, do you see the one to the left when you go straight down? I go, yeah. And he goes, that's a nice one. And I go, okay. And I go, is it facing left? He goes, yeah.
Okay, go, so we're communicating.
I go, is his head down? He goes, yeah. And he just lifted it. I go, I'm on it. I see that one. He goes, how far do you think it is? I go, about 450, I'm guessing, you know. And he goes, all right, let's set up. So I'm in the sitting position. He has some sticks. He sets it up. I had the round already racked, took it off safe. You know, is that the one right there? He's like, yeah. Start pulling the trigger. Boom. Shoot. He goes, I think you're short. It just lifted up its leg. And I go, oh, crap, we'll rack another round. I go, I'm going to hold it 500. Boom. He goes, you're over it. And I go, he goes, but hold up. It's not moving everything else. You may have hit it on that first shot. And I said, all right, going back to 450 again. Round number three, hit. Takes about four steps and it lays down. Just lays down. It's not dead. Lays down. And we're sitting there watching. And I was like, oh, man. I mean, that thrill. You guys had that before, right? You know, oh, that thrill rate.
Still do.
There,
yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to jump up and celebrate, but at the same time, it's not done yet. Something could happen, you know? And I'm just like, Gerald, what should I do? What should I do? He's like, let's just watch it, bud. Just calm down. Gerald was great. He was calm, guiding me through the whole thing. I go, should I do another one? He goes, no, bud, it's down. Let's just watch it.
That's Gerald saying, now you have too much communication.
Yeah.
Down.
Yep. You're at a 10. I need you at a 2.
Yeah, exactly. So we're watching it, and its head is down, and then we would see it like, lay its head to the left like it was is it done, you know? And then all of a sudden it would lift its head and I was like, oh man, it would start to try to get up, lay back down. We watched it, I would say 20-25 maybe 30 minutes, all yep. right? And he was like, it's not going anywhere, bud, let's start hiking to it. So we do, and of course it's up on a slope, you know, so we start hiking to it, and I was like, what's that noise? He's like, it's kicking, it's done. Yep. You know.
So the phenomenon, what you were seeing was you got a really good shot, your first shot.
Yeah.
And he just laid down. And when he did that, now he's getting blood flow back to his brain. Hmm. And that's what's letting him have his head up. She made a shot on a sable like that last year. And the first shot was absolutely brilliant. And it laid straight down. And it just like refused to be done. Because it had to pump that blood.
It did have to pump it, so it didn't have anxiety. It wasn't trying to run. All the things that they typically do to make that blood bleed out faster.
Yeah.
When they just lay down and rest like that.
They lay down because they don't feel well.
Yeah, they're
sick. They don't even understand why, but they don't feel well. But when they do, all the cardiac stuff relaxes and it slows down. That causes it to take a while, especially with a heart-lung shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, good shot, dude.
Yeah. No, I surprised myself.
And how big was this guy?
So when we were glassing, he was like, I think it's a 5x5, you know? And we started walking up, and it was fun. Because every time we're, you know, you get closer and closer, he's like, it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger, Brian. It's getting bigger.
It happens when you walk closer.
Yep.
When you look through the right end of the scope.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was so much water and my stuff. I got to figure that out. But we walk up. Yeah. 6x6. So first elk.
Nicely done.
6x6. I was stoked. I mean, that thing, it was big. It's huge.
So now the $1 million question is, how far are you from the Jeep?
Oh, from the Jeep, yeah, we were talking about he. We're guessing about 2.5-3 miles at that point.
Oh, Lord.
But there's the thing is we thought they were right on the other side of the hill that we parked.
This country's big. It's deceptive that way.
Oh yeah, yep.
So and remember, you're supposed to shoot these things in the road.
I remember you guys telling me that. And trust me, I thought about that when it wasn't in the road. Holy smokes!
I had pictures of seeing you carrying it out, the head and the hide.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that was good times, right?
There's a whole evolution of pictures where I start to, like, unzip my jacket and, like, you see the sweat on my shirt. And
you weren't gold no more.
The next set of pictures, like, it's further down and everything else like that. Oh, yeah, no. So we had to, we decided that when we got done with everything that we were going to pack it to a road that was close. And I would guess, you know, it wasn't far, but let's just say 700 yards.
Okay? That's a long ways.
That's a long ways
when you're packing meat.
But what sucked about that 700 yards, and I'm sitting here sore as hell today, okay? And this was on Saturday, and today's Monday. Like, I am sore, okay? Is we shot them up on a hill. So going down that hill was fine. But right at that little over halfway point was another valley. And then to get to the road, we had to climb back up another hill. Okay. So we process it. Gerald did a great job. Just like the antelope hunt, he jumped right in there. He's like, I got you, bud. I was like, no, I want to learn, you know?
and he left. Gerald's like, I'm freezing, so you're not learning today, sir.
No. We weren't freezing at that time because we just got done hiking and we were traveling up the hill and everything. We dropping that pack and starting to work on it. You know what? The hunt is the hunt, all right?
Right.
But once you pull that trigger and you hit something,
The work starts.
Now that's the work.
Yep.
You know, never experienced that. Learned so much on this. Never experienced it. And it is a tremendous amount of work. And I wouldn't change it for the world. But we're skinning this thing. We're quartering it up. I want to mount it. You know, so he's really taking his time and doing things right for us. We're gathering meat off of it, you know. We'll get to the processing story, but he was like, yeah, neck meats, you know, good burger, let's gather. You know, he's showing me stuff. He's letting me be involved, and it was great. I'm very thankful for that. And we load these things up in the bag, and he was like, all right, trip number one, you ready? I was like, yeah. He goes, we're going to start out with the hams. He goes, those are the heaviest. You got the most energy right now. Let's just do this. And I was like, yeah, we got this, man. The road's right there. I can see it. This is piece of cake. Let's just do it. Famous last words. We load up the hams. We're both going down the hills. I'm just like, yeah, we got this, man. People say elk hunting is hard. This isn't too bad right now. We start to go up that hill. I'm gasping for air. I'm just gasping.
Well, yeah, I mean, you live in San Diego.
Yeah.
And now you're at like 7,000 feet.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference.
I mean, it was chilly outside, but I was so hot and I was sweating so much, you know. And we put down those hams by the road and I just go, how many more trips do you think we got? And he goes, two more definitely. And I was like, oh, my Lord. Get back up there. We grab another round of packs, do the same thing. This time, when we got to the road, we both lay down. Let's just relax a little bit. We're both breathing heavy. I can tell you with all confidence, and you're probably going to listen to this, Gerald kicked my ass in hiking.
Well,
he out hiked me, no problem.
I'm pretty sure he's half mountain goat.
Well, he lives in Texas, so he's sea level as well.
Yeah,
he's just up here more often than you.
Yeah, he destroyed me, you know. And then we go back up, and this is the last pack out. So it's the head, and he had he was carrying the rifle, and I had the pack and everything, and. And he goes, well, he knew I was hurting. And he offered. He goes, I'll help you with the head. I go, no, I know that you aren't allowed to touch it. I said, I'll carry the head. You know, I got it. And he loaded that up with me. And he likes it. He took a lot of pictures. So he caped it. And we left it hanging behind me like a cape, you know. So I got the head and then the hides, you know, down to like ground level. So I'm walking and he stayed behind me. And those pictures look pretty cool. It looks like an alien with the antlers all the way around me. And
Viking coming out.
Yeah, it really did. It was really cool. Got all the way up to the road again. And I felt accomplished and it's over. But it's not because we're still so far away from the Jeep. And I don't know what devil road that is, but we hiked and it felt like there was no downhill stretch at all of that road. We were just hiking just this gradual slope all the way up for a couple miles. And I was hurting and Gerald was like, yeah, it's close. And I was like, Gerald, don't wait for me. Just keep on going, you know,
pick me up on the way back.
Yep, but when he got out of sight or over a hilltop, and I'm up there, guess what happened again? The fog rolled in, and it was so thick. And it started to rain in there, and I'm just like, man, this is how people probably get lost making decisions like this. Like, I could not see anything. And I heard the Jeep start up, and I had a flashlight, and I started flashing it because it was getting dark. And he goes, yeah, good thing you saw that. He goes, I didn't even see that road. I backed up, and I figured that was the road, but then I saw your light flash, and I knew that I had to get there and get you. So, yeah. Yep, that was the hike. That was the hunt.
So you shot the elk at what time?
3:13.
Okay, and you got to the Jeep at what time?
I think it was like 7.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
all right. Yeah. So, yeah, you put it in the work.
That was an adventure.
Oh, yeah, it really was.
So about the same amount of time as the 83-year-old woman who packed her elk.
Here we go.
I haven't watched that yet.
Was home by noon and went to church the next day. So
thanks. And I'm sitting here sore looking through your trailer for the ibuprofen. And
I told
that other
you
stuff.
Where it is. Yeah, you found it, right?
Oh, yeah.
We keep a bucket in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I tell you what. I mean, I've done a couple of hunts now. Antelope hunt was, that was great and magical. This is by far my favorite experience. This was everything.
I've been on a few of these.
Yeah.
Just a couple. And I want you to describe the feeling of when you got out to somewhat of a main road, elk's in the Jeep, you're in the Jeep, the heater kicks on. There's a definite euphoria there.
Oh, yeah.
When you're no longer on a two-track. You're back to somewhat of a civilized road.
Yep. There was accomplishment, sense of pride, a little bit of humility, because I'm just like, man, I am out of shape. I need to get in shape. This was so hard. And I go, but it could be so much harder, you know? I was probably blessed in a lot of the things to work out. I mean, okay. I mean, at least we were by a road or tube tracks, you know, that we were, you know, 700 yards. Sure, it's still the pack, but it could have been much worse. But really, I would just say, like, accomplishment. That was my biggest thing.
Well, now you know why back in the day when the Indians would go and hunt buffalo and stuff, they just moved their whole camp to where they killed the buffalo.
Yep. I don't blame them now.
That was easier than packing out the buffalo.
Can you see Brian calling his wife, hey, so we're going to live in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, because the food is right here.
Yeah. Babe, pack up the house. I don't want to carry this. You need to come out to me.
But on the other side of it, it makes a lot of sense if that's the nomadic life.
Right? No, it does. But it really makes sense of, let's just move the entire town over here because that's easier.
Yeah. I understand. Yes.
So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about, because we've processed.
Yeah.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations. Using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target, under budget.
So here's what I want to know. Like, and Jason kind of alluded this a little bit. You know, when you start to get back to civilization, are you and Gerald like poking each other going, are you awake, dude? Because after something like that, like you get into that warm truck and you're tired, you've been out in the cold, working hard all day, and it's like, you're probably ready to pass out.
It was a long day, and that bed was very welcoming. we loaded up the Jeep. It's been raining the whole time. So we still had a little bit of fun before we got out, before we hit the main road. The soil here is slippery. And that Jeep was going sideways quite a bit going down that hill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it, slick. We were sliding. And I told you at camp we were hanging out with some of the workers and the families and all that. Well, Gerald communicated with them, and they're like, we're going to meet you on the main road. We got congratulation beers for you. You know, so we get to the main road and Gerald and I mean, we're high on life right now. We're stoked. He's like, you got a nice one. I was like, I got my first elk. This is, what an experience.
You did get a nice one.
Oh man, he's going to look great. His name is Mickey off that damn bush that we saw Mickey Mouse. So we'll have Mickey Mouse hanging up in the house here next year. But yeah, we get to the main road, we meet them, they're excited, they handed us beers, we're excited to have those beers. Yeah, and we're celebrating at that time. But I could tell you that I got my ass kicked. And, and number one, I'm motivated to get in better shape, lose some pounds, and at least get hiking out there again. But yeah, I felt it, and I still feel it today. And I was tired.
Well, and the work's not done.
No,
right? Because you've got quarters, and you got back strap, and you got elk meat, your neck meat, and you've got tenderloins all in bags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what are you going to do with it? You got to process that.
Yep. So we were like, all right. So we got to the Jeep around 7. I want to say it was about 30, 40-minute drive to get back to camp. And, you know, we know we got the cooler here, but it was cold and windy. And he was like, hey, let's just hang it up in the tree. So we got pulleys, and we put it up in the tree, and we're hanging all the bags.
Because we don't have bears or anything.
Well, I don't know. Do you guys have bears?
We have bears.
Like massive problem with grizzly bears at this point, but they're not here.
Here.
It is why you hang it in a tree, though.
Well,
because if it's in the bed of your truck and the bear wants in, he wrecks your truck.
Well, we do have more mountain lion in this general area than
we
bear,
do have those.
Well, Gerald has guard dogs.
So yeah, have you seen the size of those? Yeah, right.
Although I tell you what, you know, those little ankle biters—they're terrifying.
Yep.
You know, give me a 80-pound mountain lion any day.
Hmm. Well, we're hanging in the tree, and nothing got it. Thank goodness. I guess hearing about lions and bears, but we hung it up in the tree. We got a hot meal in us, and cleaned up, and we hit the rack. You know, I slept great. Really, really.
Yeah, good. I heard it because I get the phone call. So while you're having this grand adventure, I've got 14 guys up from Mexico, and I'm doing a long range class with them, and their travel agent needs to be fired because we were driving through one of the most beautiful parts of the state in the dark. So they get to miss
both ways.
Yeah, both
coming
ways.
Coming and
yeah.
going. They missed.
Yeah, oh, I was so mad about that. But to get these guys to the airport, we had to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ouch.
So I'm up at my alarm was set for 2:10. I get these guys loaded up, I get them to the airport, and then we find there's a problem with their flight, so I'm sitting at the airport for like an extra hour and a half longer than I thought I was. We finally get all sorted out, get them on a plane, we're good to go. In fact, I found out today that they made it all home. But as I'm on my way back, and I'm about halfway back home, Brandy calls me and says, so you got an elk, and we're going to process. And I'm going, okay, I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 hours of sleep for 4 days.
It's okay. 3 monsters later, you were fine.
I was fine.
You didn't notice we didn't let him handle sharp objects.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is where I'm going with that. So, they set me up with the grinder, and Brandy was very, you know, do not use your fingers to push things into the grinder. Use the little plunger thing. And I remember at one point I came out, and you were cutting on neck meat or something, doing just absolute shit job.
Now he's a rookie. Give him a break.
All right. So let's ask Brian what he thought of the processing, because to be fair, 4 of us knew what we were doing, and Brian's just going, hey.
Oh, yeah. I walk in, and first thing, Brandy, level of processing experience, I go 0. She's like, you're just grinding. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, how am I going to learn doing that? There was a lot of lessons taught by this man over to my left over here, Mr. Wilson. Yeah, there was a lot of lessons taught.
I have put a lot of meat in the freezer.
Yeah.
In the past 20 years, I've done a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a few things, right? But we always give the front shoulder and the ankle meat to the rookie.
Yep.
I hate the front shoulder. Oh, I'd God, much rather do a rear.
Everybody hates the front shoulder.
It
so
sucks.
You give it to the rookie.
That's right. Because it requires attention to detail, and you got to go slow.
It takes him forever. You can get your shit done.
And let's make no mistake about it. The hams and the loins and things like that, that's where the premium cuts are. You don't want to screw that shit up.
No. Nope.
So you let a seasoned guy with a knife do that.
Yeah, I didn't touch those parts.
I broke down both hinds, and we managed to get your elk some grind, some sausage, some steak, some roast, managed in about 4.5 hours, which is pretty darn good for an elk. Now, there's a lot of volume of stuff going on there.
Well, and especially when you get when you're down to grind and making your sausage, seasoned, all of it, and packaged and frozen.
And I will tell you, Gerald, he was no slouch. He stepped in and knew what he was doing. So for the first time in a very long time, I had an actual knife hand next to me. I didn't have to watch or shepherd or do anything other than you need some more to cut up. Because he was great. But the what I thought was very
what are you trying to say?
He likes you on grind.
I like you on grind.
Wow. Okay.
And you absolutely refuse to use the proper tools for the job.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes. So here is Crotto trying to attack a dismantled hind, and he has got a hunting knife in his hands. When there's kitchen butcher knives available, knock it off.
He's a carving knife.
It is not a carving knife. It looks like you had fish guts on the last one.
I use a carving knife.
Yeah, well, carving wood, maybe.
Hey, some of the elk we brought in, it was tough as wood.
We've had some old ones, yeah. That's true. That's
true. And who shot that one?
I did.
He found Grandma.
I did. I totally shot Grandma.
Got an oldie.
Oh, it had grain in its mane. It had flat ivories. Mm. It was really old. Wait. Topic. What did you do with your ivories?
They're probably still in the head. Which means his taxidermist has it.
Okay, we need to track down his ivories. We do not want Kenter to high grade those.
Okay, no. we'll get those for you.
Because the actual elk have ivory, and there are two teeth in their head from prehistoric days when they had tusks.
Oh.
And what's really cool about that is you can have the ivories pulled out, cleaned up. You can take them some jewelers. Actually do the ivory jewelry so your wife could have a ring or a necklace or something.
Oh, I want those.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do. And they're quite valuable because they are real ivory.
Are you reaching for your phone?
No. I am actually reaching for something he forgot and don't want his wife to know.
Oh, I was planning to get it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I
knew. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm reaching for that.
So while he was processing me, he took his ring off not to screw it up and then Left it
on the bar.
Thank you.
He was tired. Give the man a break.
Well, Jason last night tried to chase him out. Like, they had just gotten in the truck.
Oh, I was smacking on the truck, and no.
They just went.
Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't hear that at all.
Oh, I was beating on the side of the truck, and nothing. Yeah.
Today, I was like, oh, yeah, my wedding ring's over there, but we got to get the meat. So I was like, I'll just get it tomorrow.
Well, you know.
Thank you.
Processing fee.
Yeah. I took it off being the master processor that I am. I knew that taking off my ring was a pretty important thing.
A master processor, you do realize that's a silicone band. You're supposed to have several of those when you're out and about.
Oh, no, they're at home. But low-level experience on processing, a little notch up from the experience that I had with you guys. I mean, you guys were teaching. You guys were all teaching me and doing it right or wrong, you know, lessons were learned for sure.
So and when you put in for your own tag this next time and you come back, you're going to lead the train.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. And I do want to discuss with you because it is at my home in my freezer. Yeah. Your cooler shopping.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot we still have, probably half of a deal of grind left to do because it was too frozen.
You might be looking at 2 110s.
That's what I'm thinking.
You're looking possibly at that.
I think you're going to be pushing maybe 50 pounds of burger.
Okay. These are good problems.
You put 50 pounds of sausage in.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then he has all the steaks and all those.
There was another double, if not 20% more than that.
So both of those big shelves are from the shelf to the top, and I'm starting to use crannies to get it all in there.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
I bet combined you're going to run 250 pounds of meat.
Oh, Let's do it.
And you know, it's funny. He thinks he's out of shape now. Wait till he's lugging that, you know, out of the airport into his car.
Dude.
And then back into your house.
If it's frozen solid.
Does Riverton Airport have carts? Luggage carts?
No, sir.
If it's frozen solid.
Fuck my life.
And sea. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There are services that'll ship it that may be cheaper than airline.
Oh, really?
I doubt it.
Because they hit you for an extra fee because it's animal parts.
Well, they do when you ship it, too. That's overnight shipping. And when I looked at an elk online to ship it, it was about $900.
Oh.
Ow.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's not as cheap.
Okay.
Put it on the plate.
We'll put it on the plate.
$900?
$900.
Yeah, it was nuts.
That's extortion.
And I didn't measure that many coolers. Well, I guess a smaller one.
What? Okay, what? Service these days doesn't have a what the fuck are you going to do about it fee.
Yeah, but I can send 200 pounds of brass and bullets for $150-$200.
But it's you're not doing it overnight. It doesn't have to stay cold.
Perishables are overnight.
Ay, ay, ay. Kind of sounds like you're getting hosed. You should have drove.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I want to pick up the... So pretty badass, by the way, because you guys are like, hey, are you mounting it? I said, yeah. And you made a phone call, and 10 minutes later, the taxidermist is at the house.
He came to our house. Yeah. Now, to be fair, he only lives 6 miles up the road.
But on the other side of it, we do provide him with a lot of customers.
We do.
We do, because he's the one that did your antelope last year.
Yep.
All the other antelope for all the other guys.
Yeah, he always does most of ours, and I know Gerald had one set up and talk to in Casper, but none of us were traveling to Casper anytime soon, and I had nowhere to keep something like that.
What do you mean? We're driving to Casper in a day and a half.
We're not going to have time or that time of morning. A taxidermist isn't going to take it.
You make a phone call and say, here's what's happening. Be there if you want the work.
Your mount is going to be stunning, though.
Yeah. Yes, because this guy's good.
He does great work, and he does the removable antlers. Mm-hmm. So they're on square tubing, so when you get it, they'll be separated from the head. It's going to save you a lot of space and shipping.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to walk it through the doorway without having to knock pictures off the wall getting it inside.
Homeboy not shipping it.
He's coming back to see us and he's going to pick it up.
It's leading into that. Thank you.
6 miles from my house.
Take the sponge and wipe the condensation back off that.
So the wife, which you saved my marriage by bringing my wedding ring back to me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My wife loves road trips.
Oh, perfect.
And I'll just put the camper shell on the Ford. We'll come on out. We'll figure out, you know, timing of everything. But, yeah, I think it would be a trip worthwhile for another visit. Picking up the elk or the antelope. Oh, gosh. Elk.
The elk.
And sorry, two hunts, you know. And then bringing them home that way. I think that would be a great visit.
Well, you say save your marriage, okay? The crew that I just had, like as soon as they touched down, okay, I had one guy, and I'm not going to mention his name, you know, to protect the innocent, right? The first question I got was, so how are the hookers here?
Oh,
and I went, well,
big and no teeth.
Don't you,
whatever.
We don't go teepee tipping if that's what you mean.
I did not ask that question. I just want to put that on the record.
We have hookers?
News to me.
Yeah.
I think here we call them town.
Well,
bicycles.
And it was kind of funny because I knew these guys were flying in. They were catching a connecting flight through Salt Lake, and I was picking them up in Jackson Hole. And I texted him before they even touched down. I'm like, get something to eat in Salt Lake, because once you leave Salt Lake, that's it. There's nothing.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, no, it's fine. We'll eat in Jackson before we leave. I'm like, first of all, you're not touching down until like 10 o'clock at night. Second of all, it's not like there's a restaurant in the airport. And there is nothing in between that and Riverton. They didn't believe me. Until they got here.
And now they do.
Now they understand.
Well, first visit, we were saying it is for the antelope hunt. You know, Brandy was like, hey, I'll pick you up from the airport. I was like, you don't need to worry about that. I'll just get an Uber. It's not a big deal. And
Uber.
She laughed. She's like, that ain't happening.
Not here. You're not. Yeah.
And no, I'm not getting an Uber. I can tell you with all confidence.
No, you are not getting an Uber. So before we go completely deranged over time here. Sum up, you know, your second hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to caveat that a little bit too. Your second hunt with Vet Healing Adventures.
Yep. There you go.
Right. Kind of an experienced.
Yes.
Disabled vet.
Yep.
With the service that we provide. What is your takeaway?
You're running something great. It's in the name. I mean, healing. I mean, you know, having a very prideful and a moment where I feel accomplished is you know, something special. It's rare, you know, and you guys are providing a service that, you know, has offered that to me, you know, now twice. Making friends. I mean, everyone's so welcoming and so warm. There's no worries on any part on my end. Like, you guys make it feel like home, like part of the family. So really, your guys' service that you're providing, it's, and I said it's in your name, it's healing, you know. The biggest thing, I don't know how to describe it, but just having that feeling that, you know, of accomplishment. I know I said that over and over again, but it's something I want. I felt it so much before, you know, in the military, and I don't know why I don't feel like that as much as I should, but you guys gave it to me, you know, and it's just, it's wonderful. So I don't know if that's wrapping it up on how I feel, but I wish I could put more words to it. It's just wholesome, you know?
I think our ultimate goal from our side is we have the utmost respect for those that are willing to write that check, right?
Mm-hmm. My butt can't cash that check.
No, and we want to do everything that we can to honor you guys, to take care of you, to make you know that you're appreciated.
Yeah, and thank you, and you do.
I'm going to put you to task.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What do you got?
So having been out here a couple times, you kind of get a sense for what we do and what we're about, mm-hmm. right? So if you come across vets, disabled vets in your area that could use a little bit of a bright light in their life,
yeah,
get them to apply.
And we'll do.
Because that's what we do.
So I'm active in our VFWs. I'm cooking, you know, meals and everything. I'm interacting. I'm meeting a lot of new faces, and I'll definitely do that. Absolutely.
Awesome.
It's so rewarding. You guys are something special for sure.
Thank you. So we're like way, way, way over time, which is awesome because that means, you know, whatever, whatever. But
he has to edit now.
No. I'm not editing shit on this one. But before we get out of here, I do have to mention that next week is going to start our Ballistic Summit podcast. We are leaving. Today's Monday. We're leaving Wednesday for Raton, New Mexico. We will be recording, I believe it's like 6 episodes at Ballistic Summit. So look forward to those. And until next week, blame your guide.